Penguin Random House Audio presents The Swell by Ali Reynolds. Read by Samara McLaren, with Nicolette Chin, Joe Eyre, George Greenland, Helen Keeley, Sid Sagar, and George Waitman.
Prologue. The tide's coming in. Every wave seems to lap a little higher, erasing, bit by bit, the traces of what I did. There's something soothing about putting one foot in front of the other, mashing my toes into the sand. Last night's storm has washed up all sorts of things onto the high water line. Assorted leaves, seed pods, frangipani flowers, a whole orange that squishes when I step on it and turns out to be full of little but seawater. The others are still sleeping. At least, I hope they are. I scuffed the sand further up the beach, but if one of them came here now, they'd see it. The sign of something being dragged to the water. They might also wonder what I was doing on the beach so early without my board. Not that it's surfable today. The ocean is a lumpy mess. Water dark, with sand churned up by the storm. The wind is still howling. The gulls face into it, eyes narrowed, feathers ruffling. One trots ahead of me, back end blown into a feather boa. I pace the shoreline, watching, waiting. The sharks haven't found the body yet, but they will.
Chapter 1. Kenna. Hey, you. A blonde woman holds a flyer in my direction. Take one, please. A slight accent. Dutch or Swedish or something. I blink, dazzled by the sunlight after the shade of the train station. Why is it so bright? It feels like the middle of the night. Best Thai food, shouts a young man. Looking for a room? Calls a girl with multiple facial piercings. The touts stand there holding their ground, or trying to, in the stream of people flooding from the station. Sydney may be on the other side of the world, but so far, arriving here is little different to arriving in London or Paris. My heavy backpack makes me unsteady on my feet. The Thai restaurant guy tries to give me a flyer, but I have my travel card in one hand and my day pack in the other, so I shrug an apology and step around him.
Happy hour, shouts another voice. $6 schooners.
As I'm wondering what a schooner could be, a hand grips my wrist. The Dutch woman. She's 50-ish, with dark blonde hair and clear blue eyes. Pretty. Or she would be if her face wasn't taut and unsmiling. I want to pull free and walk on, ignore her like everyone else, but the desperation in her eyes stops me. I glance at her flyers. Missing. Elke Hartmann, German national. The photo shows a smiling blonde girl clutching a surfboard.
My daughter.
The woman's voice is raw. Not Dutch, then. I'm hopeless with accents. The tide of people divide and merge around us as I skim the flyer. Elke is 29, a year younger than me, and she's been missing for 6 months. I offer a tight smile of sympathy. I hope the bus stop isn't far, because this backpack weighs a ton. A briefcase bashes my calf. I spot the clock on the wall. 5:30, the evening rush hour. The realization makes my brain hurt. I can never sleep on planes. I've been awake for 2 whole days.
Have you ever lost someone you love?
The woman asks. I turn back to her. Because I have lost someone. She was backpacking here. The woman nods at my bags.
Like you.
I'm not backpacking, I want to tell her, but she doesn't give me a chance.
They're in a foreign country, and they don't know anyone. If they disappear, it's days before anyone notices. They're easy targets.
With the final word, her voice cracks. She lowers her head, shoulders shaking. I drape my arms awkwardly around her. My palms are damp. I don't want to ruin her blouse. I need to get going, but I haven't got the heart to leave her like this. Should I take her somewhere? Buy her a cup of tea? But I want to get to Mickey's place before it gets dark. I'll give her a minute and hope she cries herself out. Office workers file past. The women seem better groomed than their British counterparts, all glossy hair and tanned legs in heels and short skirts. The men wear their shirts with the sleeves rolled up and top two buttons undone, suit jackets slung over their shoulders, ties nowhere in sight. Sweat pools under my armpits. This sticky humidity. Mickey always moaned about it. Nearly as bad as Japan. It's March, the Australian autumn, and I hadn't expected it to be this hot. I watch the touts handing out flyers. The Thai restaurant guy offers a flyer to anyone who'll take one, but the others seem to be targeting backpackers. With their oversized backpacks and milk-white or sunburnt limbs, they stand out a mile. Easy targets. Elka's mother sniffs. Sorry. She hunts through her handbag and pulls out tissues. No problem, I say. Are you okay? She dabs her eyes, sheepish now.
I'll let you go. But you be careful, yes?
I will, and don't worry about me. I'm not a backpacker. I'm here to visit a friend. She's getting married.
Oh, my apologies. She'll be expecting you.
Yes, I say.
She isn't, though.
Chapter 2. Kenna.
I'm gonna kill you, Mickey says.
I stand on her doorstep, hunched under the weight of my backpack.
I knew you'd be mad.
Freckles pepper Mickey's cheeks and forehead. Her long hair, previously glossy and black, is matted and burnt brown by the Australian sun. The flowering tree beside her front door scents the night air with an exotic smell, highlighting the fact that I'm on the other side of the world. She's looking at me as though she can't decide if she's happy to see me or not.
Why didn't you tell me you were coming?
Because you told me not to come? But we won't get into that yet. I tried phoning, but you didn't answer. I told you, there's no reception at the beach we go to. Her white roxy top shows off her taut biceps and tan. As unobtrusively as I can, I look for bruises, but don't see any. I let out my breath a little. Here she is, apparently safe and well. My best friend. She breaks into a smile.
Oh my God, Kenna, you're really here.
I smile too.
Oh my God, is her catchphrase.
And I can't count the number of times I've heard her say it. Usually at the latest crazy thing I did. She pulls me into a hug.
See? It's all right. Best friends do stuff like this. If your intentions are good, it's okay to overstep boundaries.
What is a friendship but a sum of the memories of the time you spent with someone? And the better the memories, the better the friendship. Memories of Mickey. Me and her nude surfing one night when we were drunk. Me push-starting her ancient beetle down a narrow Cornish road above a cliff. A camping trip when she forgot to pack the tent, so we chatted up the campers next door and booted them out of one of their tents so we could borrow it. All the hilarious things we got up to. And this will go down in our shared history as another of those things. The time I flew to Australia to pay her a surprise visit. At least, that's what I'm trying to tell myself. She must have been surfing today. Her hair is sticky with salt. I peel a strand from my mouth and pull back to look at her.
I can't believe you came all this way, she says. What if I wasn't here?
The thought
Sample complete. Ready to continue?